gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host for this evening, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And tonight, unfortunately, Chris Lappin can't make it, he's busy with work. But I'm really pleased to announce the return of Mr. WrestleMania, Nick Davey. Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, fine. Thanks very much. So I'm going to, allow the floor to be yours, really. You was there for WrestleMania 34. You did the WrestleMania week, and yeah, in this part of the show, can you tell us and the listeners about your WrestleMania week, say Wednesday to Friday?
Yeah, of course. I'll be happy to. First of all, it's just from when the alarm clock went off on the Wednesday morning, it was just the biggest buzz, and I when you've, throughout life, you've obviously had those buzz moments when you wake up on a day, like for instance when it went off on the day when Brighton were playing Wigan. I think everyone, I was hopping out of bed for that. That was the game where Brighton got promoted. You have days that you're just looking forward to, like a holiday, just in general, trip to a theme park potentially all your life. But this was just the one when the alarm clock goes off and you're like, oh my God, today is Tuesday, I'm flying out to WrestleMania. And it was just from that moment, it was just incredible. But yeah, no, getting to Gatwick and seeing that, so not Gatwick, Heathrow, and just seeing lots of wrestling shirts straight away was a real big buzz. Really good to see, everyone in good spirits, everyone really excited. Very nice to see. So yeah, that was that. And then, say, a good flight out there. So it was, we had to do 10 hours to Miami, longest I've been on a flight as well. Miami, less said about the staff, but better at Miami. Very slower, quite no seeing the massive surge, though, because I think everyone was on a lot of wrestling fans on from Heathrow, were obviously connecting over to New Orleans, seeing the surge of wrestling shirts running off the slow. People even move out, were sort of off to taking obviously a lot of stuff off for going through the searches. People putting sort of belts back on whilst running to try and get their connecting flight. But pleased to say, I think everyone did manage to make the connect. Well, me and my mates certainly did, which from a selfish point of view is the main thing, I guess. seeing everyone in wrestling shirts, everyone really excited. The buzz of it all was really nice to see. Then obviously getting into New Orleans and then, the taxi over to the hotel, lovely going past them. First, obviously, glimpse of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and just realising what a big structure it is. Absolutely unbelievable. So I didn't realise it was going to be that big. Seeing New Orleans for the first time was great. Then I got into Airbnb. I think it took me about 1 minute before just crashing onto my bed and falling asleep. the flight, obviously, in the end, obviously, it was a long, long day. I remember talking, it would probably been about, if it was all UK time, I mean, by the time we'd have got into Airbnb, we'd have been about 5 in the morning. So, despite the temptation of going out onto Bourbon Street that night, it lasted about 1 minute before crash, pan, wallop onto my bed. but that was good, though, to be fair, because it meant waking up, obviously, early on the Thursday morning, feeling fresh, obviously, for the whole week ahead. So, it was really good waking up 9 a.m. So, we went straight out into the sun. And getting glimpses of New Orleans, and what a beautiful city it really is. Lovely, lovely city. Can't speak more highly about it. Then obviously, as is in America, got to get pancakes, so I've never seen them realize how big they were in me as well. America, everything's bigger in America. There's going to be a tagline. It'll be everything's bigger in America to start that week, I think.
Was there a side of bacon with your pancakes, Nick? Because they serve bacon with everything.
Streaky bacon with like a lovely strawberry sauce. I was going to there was no bad food, to be fair, eating that week. It was all quality.
Yeah.
But had a very good breakfast to start on the week, I guess. Then got obviously a hop-on-hop-off bus tour around New Orleans, seeing New Orleans as a whole. Obviously, we're going to be there for a week, so nice to get a tour guide. Again, just on that tour, just seeing wherever you go down the streets, there's wrestling shirts just everywhere in sight. I have to say, on the subject of merch, get sidetracked, but I'd have to say we're going to summarise what the shirts you see the most. I'd probably have to say, because I mean, a lot of people have actually questioned me and asked me about what sort of merch like trends, and even to be fair, some people on Twitter when I've been sort of saying I'm out in America, I had a lot of questions about which merch would you see the most, and I thought I'd say it for the show. But I'd say actually probably Rusev Day shirts were probably the most popular ones. It's just everywhere you went, there was definitely Rusev shirts, and I'd probably say then it's pretty a toss-up between Rusev Day shirts and Bullet Club shirts.
Well, in all honesty, Nick, you know, Rusev Day is every day of the week, isn't it? So, you know, people have got to have shirts for every day because, you know, Rusev Day never ends.
I still understand how WrestleMania landed on the same day as Rusev Day, but I can't get my head on that.
Mania.
I don't know, it was very good to see the wrestling shirts everywhere. It's almost like you're in everything my heaven described. So that was that. Just good getting a bus stop. Now, then in the evening, we're getting back to the wrestling side of things. So the first wrestling show, the WrestleCon show, half nine starts, or about, what would it be, about half 12, 1 o'clock, so it was a wild show. Very, very entertaining, though. It was good being a part of seeing what the American atmosphere is like as well. And again, everyone very, very friendly, from people pouring your drinks and getting the beers in or what have you, to everyone, really. It's just a very, very friendly and it is a very good part to be part of my first ever American show. And
was there any standout moments or matches on the WrestleCon card, Nick?
Well, a bit of a surprise from the off, the three matches. I mean, Jerry Lawler making a surprise appearance to answer Joey Ryan's open challenge. and we saw him fly a fireball at Joey Ryan's penis.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, crazy.
A comedy moment, but some incredible matches. The Lucha match, I mean, I must admit, I don't know all the Luchas are in it. Come on, this one's a bit weak, but Flamita, who I saw at the Super Strong Style at Progress last year, was in there, could see him again and forgotten how great he actually is in the ring. So that was a quality match. When Ospreay got probably the biggest pop of the night, obviously there was doubt that he was actually going to make it to New Orleans week with that nasty, nasty bump that he suffered only a couple of weeks before, I think it was.
Yeah, the New Japan Sakura Genesis show.
That's it.
Yeah.
So he had his match. And then in the main event, we saw Kenny Omega team with Kota Ibushi, which seeing them two live is a sign that I can certainly tick off my wrestling bucket list.
The Golden Lovers.
It was incredible seeing them live.
Who did they face?
Now you're asking. I saw a lot of wrestling that week.
You did?
I can't remember.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can't remember. Other appearances, some big names that were there. Emma competed. Emma from WWE was in a 10-man tag.
10-woman tag.
Mexico also made an appearance. Mexico, if you remember them, Super Crazy, YouTube, Psychosis, they're all there.
Oh, wicked.
So saw them. But no, just a very good show, and say just I thought the atmosphere was superb throughout, and a very good show. And then first experience of Bourbon Street that night. Everything it lived up to be. And it was just, again, everyone enjoying themselves. So lots of wrestling shirts everywhere, everyone, all in good spirits. Very nice to see. It was a fantastic street. Really good sort of party atmosphere, and really, really enjoyable. And you see, there was no trouble or anything like that. No nights, there was no trouble at all. I didn't see. It was everyone really, really enjoying themselves, and who can blame them? It was a fantastic, fantastic show. Street, and so I'd love to go back there. and then Friday was a long day of wrestling, so we saw Progress starting off the day in the day. Progress show, great seeing that outside the UK for the first time.
Any standout moments and matches?
Straight away we had a tag title match, Moustache Mountain versus the grizzled young veterans of Zach Gibson and James Drake. And I thought Trent Seven and Tyler Bate were gold. Well, Trent Seven again, just proving how gold he is on the mic.
Yeah.
Ripping into Gibson and Drake before the match. So that the stand up match. I really liked the Thunder Bastard match. To be fair, the seven man Thunder Bastard match, seeing some wrestlers I've never seen for the first time. Darby Allin. Well, he was quality.
Yeah, he's been in. Sorry, one second, Nick. He's been in Evolve a lot.
Yeah, he certainly has. And MJK. Now this guy looks severely talented on the mic. A very cocky young heel, and so he was brilliant at the Wrestle Contracts the night before, and then he came out the Thunderbast match straight away, mouthing off. So he was very good. Jeff Cobb actually won the match in the end, so he actually got a title match for the Progress Show the next day against Travis Banks. So I wasn't actually at the Progress Show on the Saturday, but set up that. And then the main event was brilliant as well, Travis Banks against Shane Strickland. And I felt a bit sore for both wrestlers because obviously I think as where we were in New Orleans, it was quite far away from the city. So I know Fight Club Pro, or is it Rev Pro or Fight Club Pro? I think it was Rev Pro. They were doing a show which was in the town, so a lot of people had to probably get up to try and make it on time there. Therefore, quite a lot of people had to leave during the main event. But I thought it was a great match between Travis Banks and Shane Strickland for the title, and Travis Banks did win. And the triple threat match, this was a fantastic moment. Triple threat match between Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, and Flash Morgan Webster. Absolutely brilliant. Pete Dunne hitting the tombstone. In the illegal move that he's not allowed to do, the pile driver, hitting the pile driver, and then telling the whole crowd to shush, that he's cheeky grin. He's one in a million, Pete Dunne, absolutely talented wrestler, and no, it was brilliant. But no, then after the match, he was good. After the show, I was speaking to some of the Progress guys. Got my latest T-shirt. It was a Mark Andrews T-shirt.
Good choice.
Been wanting to get on for a while, but the right time for that. And then, saw the Evolve show as well. Quite obviously, a lot of the crowd weren't there because it clashed with the Rev Pro show, and quite a lot of people were there. But so it was good. It was good though being at the Evolve show, seeing like an American sort of show, and my new favourite wrestler is called AR Fox.
Yeah, he's good.
Loved his dance moves. Loved his entourage that came out, and still livid that the referee kicked all the entourage out of the match before it even started. But he loved his finishing as well. So he's, I think, to speak that severely talented in the ring as well. So it's good seeing all these new. I mean, I must have seen God knows how many wrestlers for the first time ever.
Yeah,
and he was one that jumped straight to the top of my list that I want to see more of in the UK, hopefully. And in actual matches, Walter basically killed someone. I've forgotten who it was he fighted, but chops, you forget how painful those chops really are. That was an excellent match. Keith Lee actually lost to Austin Theory.
Oh, okay.
Which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Austin Theory, and there was a title change on that, so
Austin Theory
won the belt. I forgot which belt it was. it was my first time at all these shows. It was a great
no match, excuse so. That Austin, Nick
Austin Theory is another wrestler I've seen for the first time, and I was really really impressed by him. And I'm with Austin Theory. I mean, one thing that did impress me as well is there's obviously with these shows, when I've gone to shows before, like indie shows, I mean, I go to Progress and Riptide, it's over 16 or over 18 only, so it was good being at a show where there's actually kids going around enjoying themselves. So Austin Theory was brilliant speaking to them, even when they probably weren't at any attention to even speak to him or buy any merchandise. It was nice him back his way, asking the kids head there, enjoying their days and everything. And that's what you want to see, isn't it, from these wrestling shows. Obviously, Chris is not on the show. He's got young kids, and I'm sure he'll completely agree if he took his little to a show, so to speak. And then, yeah, had a bit of a break after Revolve. It was time to have a little bit of a break, so he went up and got probably as much food as I've ever eaten in my life from this this classic American diner, all you can eat. I forgot what the place was called. But absolutely splendid. That's the pity pot on about a stone, though, in that restaurant. One's more stone than the other way, which is probably about 400 stone. But no, went to play bowling, and I was surprised my mate's fine, proving that after a lot, after my first shot, which managed to almost go onto someone else's court, managed to bring myself back up for win. I think we had six games. I think we all won two each, actually, which was very nice, let's just say. So two each, then back down the road to the last show, which was Joey Janela's spring break, and this was hilarious from start to finish. I still don't know what I saw in the clusterfuck match. I don't know what on earth was happening in that. It was eventually won by the Invisible Man. some surprise appearance by Doink the Clown, Hornswoggle. What's his name? Virgil, he was in it. it was pretty much random. Action I've ever seen. Nick Cage was in it. He was quite cool. But God knows what I saw in that. It was just incredible. For all the wrong reasons, so to speak. So was that. Some other standout matches. I did like David Starr had an excellent match. I forgot what he did too now again. we saw Matt Riddle kick the crap out of James Ellsworth, which was good for all, isn't it, really? He kept to Matt Riddle. I think the problem is how much matches he wrestled. I think he had the highest amount of bookings in a whole New Orleans week. I saw him at the WrestleTron show the night before. He then wrestled at Progress. I think he did the other show as well that was on the Wrestle Super show that was on before.
Yeah, and he ran his own promotion as well, Bloodsport, I think it's called. No, yeah.
I think there was no ropes or anything.
Yeah.
I think he got, God knows how much, I think there was something crazy. I think he had eight shows, I think, in a week, or might be more than that, might have been 10 shows or something crazy. But fair play, he put what boss he is as well. That was all the end of the indie shows. All of the indie shows were absolutely excellent, and that's why I love wrestling. Really, really, and truly. I mean, we obviously love WWE. Why I go to wrestling in this country is because I love indie wrestling. I love all the shirts defending indie wrestling. I can't stand people who slate indie wrestling. When you think about half of where the WWE lot have come from.
Yeah.
It's
got to start somewhere. They've got to start somewhere.
Exactly, and it's why I think, in my opinion, indie wrestling is simply why professional wrestling is, in my opinion, the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it Walter against Pierre Carl Quillette as well at that Joey Janela's spring break?
It was.
And what did you make of that match? Because I've heard rave reviews.
Yeah, it was excellent. I think that was the one where I actually came shy to go. I was getting a beer in the queue, and I think everyone was just shaking their heads in a good way.
Yeah.
That was a great match for the beer as well. And to be fair, after these matches, it's very easy to make small talk in the queues and stuff. Because, after any match, which is a very bold thing to say, I don't think after any match in any of the shows I saw, I went away going, oh, that's crap, sort of thing. I'm a bit of a geek, I don't know, but I think every match was throughout the weekend, so it didn't disappoint. Some matches naturally are better than others, but no, it was every show was great. But just as I say, it was really nice seeing it all in another country. And seeing, as I say, the main thing about the indie shows was seeing guys I've never seen, even heard of, I'll be honest, never heard of half of them. And it was great seeing them for the first time. A lot of new stuff, stuff I saw for the first time, about some gimmicks, say, with MJK. I hope he's progressed sort of looking a bit more. Because he's making his debut. I hope you see more. A lot of it, as AR Fox, I thought he was quality.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of new favourite wrestlers now. Darby Allin, say. I did hear good things about him before, though, in all fairness. But he after a nasty, nasty bump in that progress show. So he even got Glenn Joseph, one of the progress owners, had to come off commentary to see if, I think they just tried to literally drag him away from the match because he took a bump, a very nasty bump. And he actually rolled him out for Evolve and I believe Spring Break as well. And the same with Travis Banks, he took a cut in the main event against Shane, which also ruled him out. But the good thing about the indie shows is they're replaced by a couple of other progress guys in Evolve. So I think Mark Haskins and Chris Brooks just stepped in. So.
Okay. Well, that's two good replacements if you need them, isn't it, really?
Let's say it's two of the best guys in English wrestling today.
Absolutely. We'll stop there with your WrestleMania week, Nick, and we'll come back to that.
Thank you. If anyone's still listening to our show, thank you very much. I bored you to death.
Yeah, we're about 20 minutes in, so, and it's mostly been you talking, but that's kind of your favourite thing to do, so no problems.
Yo, everybody in the UK, it's your boy, Suge D. I'm coming at you live in living color, surround sound, letting you know that there hasn't been this much mayhem since the Boston Tea Party, and I'm just letting you know that you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the superstar shakeup and the superstars that moved from SmackDown Live to Monday Night Raw. Is there... I can go through the list, or is there any that's kind of jumped out at you and you're like, okay, that's a good move for him or a bad move for him? Would you like me to go through the list and then you can decide afterwards, or have you got something in your head?
You shout out the list before and then.
Okay, no problem. Jinder Mahal, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Zack Ryder, Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Natalya, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Connor, Victor, Bobby Roode, Mojo Rawley, Mike Kanellis, and Chad Gable. Nick? Yep.
Yeah. Some of the standout ones, I mean, I thought actually, coincidentally, were on the... the week before. I know they're not really part of the shake-up, but the week before when obviously Raw got... But no, to understand that, I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it'll be good to see how they do on Raw.
Definitely.
I think that was obviously blatantly obvious that's where they're going to turn up after they lost at WrestleMania.
In all honesty, I thought they might go away for a short while, to be honest. But back on the indies and in like storyline purposes and stuff, and then come back in the future. But like CM Punk should have done when he won the WWE title off John Cena way back when. He was leaving the company and stuff, and he talked about wrestling in New Japan and Ring of Honor and stuff, but that never came to fruition because he was back at SummerSlam. So they could have sent them to certain independent shows and built the storyline up over time. But they brought them onto Raw straight away.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they could have done that. But like you say, it's CM Punk one we had a discussion actually in America, funny enough. It's good to see them on Raw. It'll be interesting what they do. I think they'll definitely feud down the line, whether who's going to be face or heel. But I think they'll keep them as a cocky heel. Maybe have them even potentially pick up the tag belts. Or even go to some single gold at Scarver, a lot of it like they did on SmackDown, so I think that's a good move from them. Bobby Roode, I think that could be a potential standout. With him on Raw, I was thinking of SmackDown, I think maybe he doesn't hit the heights that he's certainly hit on NXT, so maybe he can get it on Raw.
Raw might be a better fit for him, Nick, to be honest. Because Raw's more the entertainment show, isn't it? And when SmackDown's kind of the wrestling show, isn't it?
That's
how it's perceived, anyway.
No, it certainly is, and it will be interesting to see how he does on Raw. But like I say, going back to it, I think it was actually the week before where I was more impressed with the NXT call-ups. The Authors of Pain on Raw, I think, I'm not a big fan of them dumping Paul Ellering, WWE taking Paul Ellering away from them. I think that would be a big blow. I know Ellering probably doesn't want to commit to a full-time show up on Raw every week and everything. I know NXT, it's obviously aligned to schedule. So whether that has anything to do, I don't know. But I think, obviously, he's really useful on their promos.
I think my knee-jerk reaction was the same as yours, but he didn't want to go on the road as far as I'm aware, and they wanted to keep him in NXT to get the next group of superstars ready for the main roster, which is obviously a good idea because of the vast knowledge he has in professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe even he might go to War Raiders. So you could potentially go there. But no, it's Authors of Pain. It'd be good to see them on Raw. I loved Ember Moon making her debut as well. I think she had a lot of them. And I think this is the... I was thinking with Ember Moon debut tomorrow, I think this is the most stacked. I know we've had the Women's Evolution and whatever you want to call it. But I think this, some of the women on Raw and SmackDown are absolutely seriously talented. There's a lot of talent on Raw.
Definitely. Ronda Rousey.
Nia Bliss, yeah. Now, obviously, Ember Moon, I think she's class. You've got the right squad now on Raw. I think seriously, it's a stack with talent. I think the Raw. Rousey, obviously.
Yeah.
Biggest name in women's wrestling. It's seriously stacked of top talent, which is great to see. And Bobby Lashley. That's obviously a big one, though. It's not really a superstar shake-up because he's obviously a free agent.
That's more from Impact Wrestling to WWE, to be honest, but yeah.
Let's see, yeah. We know TNA are hiring, apparently. it's great to see Lashley back in WWE. Loved him first time round. I just hope maybe he's obviously coped with unfinished business, and I'm really just praying to get a dream match later on down the line between him and Brock.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. You completely agree with you. Any other standouts in the Raw shake-up or just what you've said?
I think they're the main ones that stand out for me.
Yeah.
On to Raw, as I say, I think, it's a bit of not really on the subject of it now, but I think Paige's absolutely pulled Andrew's pants down, I think, if we're going to be honest, in this driven the shake-up.
To talk about my thoughts on the shakeup and stuff, completely agree with you. I was going to leave the NXT part until later, but you've talked about it. Ember Moon, it's fine. Ember Moon, Authors of Pain, No Way Jose, all good additions for different reasons to the Raw roster. The ones that jump out at me are Owens and Zayn, although if I was fantasy booking, I would have sent them to certain indie shows before they got their opportunity to come back onto the WWE roster on Raw and stuff. I'm hoping it's a new start for Zack Ryder. Once again, hoping that Tyler Breeze and Fandango are seen to be what they are, a tremendous tag team and... fantastic characters. Natalia, if she gets to work with, a Ronda Rousey kind of figure, that'd be fantastic. That would create some great matches. Dolph Ziggler, if it could rejuvenate his career. Drew McIntyre with Dolph Ziggler is an interesting pairing. They've both got a lot going for them, especially McIntyre coming back from injury, and it will have a point to prove. Jinder Mahal, it might be a new start for him. The Riott squad, like you said, expecting a lot out of Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan in particular. Baron Corbin's got a new start, and like I said, the entertainment program in WWE. Bobby Roode, same thing. Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder should have been split up, so one should have been left on SmackDown Live. Not really seen much of Mike Kanellis, so we'll see what happens with that. And Chad Gable's probably one of the finest professional wrestlers they've got on the roster. So I hope his size and stature doesn't doesn't stop him from being what he can be, you know, an intercontinental champion kind of thing. So, and maybe even higher than that, he's just an absolutely tremendous technical submission wrestler, and can't wait to see what he does on Raw, really. So, with all that being said, we're going to hand it back over to you, Nick, and let's hear about your WrestleMania week, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, of course. So, just to say how that Chad Gable was the other thing, I completely agree. I'm intrigued to see where he can go from here as a single competitor. I hope maybe they send him back to a face. I think he could work, and in the crowd, like, obviously, like him, I think he could do well as a bit of a baby face, bit of an underdog. So, but no, I'm intrigued to see where he goes as a singles competitor. And obviously, you've got the door open now as well. I know Jordan's injured, so you could even potentially have an American Alpha reunion down the line as well, which I think anyone will really complain about, because let's face it, the Jason Jordan single on his own hasn't really gone as well as everyone would have hoped it would have gone.
I think they broke him up too quickly, Nick, to be honest. This whole situation, keep them as tag team partners and then have either or turn on the other, but you can have that last years, whereas now the in terms of storylines and stuff and decisions that are made, they're made way too quickly. You know, it's about long term, and it should be about long term in professional wrestling, because there's got to be a tomorrow. So you make your tomorrow last as long as possible, and that's what they should have done with Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, and even Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, to be honest. But like you said, I am looking forward to seeing what he can do as a singles wrestler.
Absolutely.
So yeah, back to you. New Orleans on Saturday. What happened on that day?
I was just following the bike getting dead hungover. With the Huntsville game, sadly, yeah, only one more door. So that. then went to the three before the fan access. So sort of at the Man City United game, great game, I must say. But no, going off the fan access app, probably my favourite part, I'd say, of that, in the sense that I just felt like the biggest kid known to mankind. I mean, I didn't realise how good it was actually going to be, the access, but it was absolutely amazing. It really was. I mean, I just didn't expect to be anywhere near as good, but some of the stuff I did was so fun. We got to do like entrances, so I did the Shane O'Mac entrance. you could do the commentary, so you do the commentary with the bloke who does Superstars and 205 Live. I forgot his name. Mike something, I think.
Vic Joseph.
Vic Joseph, that's the one. Yeah, so Matt, he was a very nice bloke. So me and my friend did Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne from my favourite match of last year, Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne from NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Wow, wicked.
That was our match we did. I think I did about, I think I went in the space of about a minute from JR to Nigel McGuinness to Raniello to Michael Cole to Jerry Lawler, so probably to Joey Styles as well. So I really managed to cover every commentator there is in the space of about a minute. Very enjoyable though. Loads of other stuff going on. There was even live action in the ring. I didn't actually see much live action. My friends did, but I went over to try and get, well, what I was hoping to get one, a picture of Paige, but instead it came out with the lovely Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. So I wasn't disappointed, but I did secretly want to get on with Paige at the Bryan Centre a few years ago, so I wanted to almost put up a montage of photos.
That doesn't sound creepy at all.
Yeah, it sounds creepy on women at all, so sorry if you just for this, yeah. And I'll knock on the door from the police tomorrow. whilst that was all going on, though, whilst there was so much going on in there, that you can also get like pictures, like loads of classic. You might have seen my stuff I put on Facebook, but you can get like pictures of like the belt. You get like the picture of Triple H announcing his new NXT talent. And then you saw Triple H's tweet, which made me laugh. Triple H got a picture of Triple H, which is quite funny on Twitter. So I did that. It was quite even cut promos. So I cut a promo on my mate.
What did you say?
Rubbish. I've got it all saved on my phone somewhere. But yeah, so I downloaded an app thing and it wasn't loading where I was in the, so I think I tried to sort out NXT that night. It just wasn't loading up, and my patience levels aren't very good. So that, but it was just honestly Access. I can't recommend it to more. If it ever goes to your, if Access ever goes to your American state, I'd just recommend going there because it is amazing. So it's, I just can't recommend it more to anyone. It's just so fun. Again, it's just seeing everyone enjoy everyone. The females, everyone enjoying themselves. It was just smiles on everyone's face. No, it was brilliant. Everyone was chanting as well. There's lots of chants. Rusev Bay chants, etc. The only thing I wish I bought a Walk with a Live shirt. Now that's quite cool. I regret doing that, but in the big superstore.
Did you meet anyone else except for Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville?
The queue, like I just said, like my patience goes the queue.
Oh, yeah.
I think we timed it wrong. I think we should have probably jumped in the queue straight away to speak to the wrestlers, but we so I just did like go around and play with everything, basically. there's just so much you could do in there. I mean, like, so you've got like the ECW stuff where you can pick up like, the trash cans and everything. So I've been at my photos on Facebook of loads of stuff that we did out there. Just trying to think more about the practical stuff. So we've done the commentary, done the promo, done the entrances was so fun. But yeah, no, there was live stuff going as well as live matches. I think the actual match I saw was Mark, because we were right up close to the ring, was Mark Andrews through Gulak. Gulak was quite funny, actually. Some little kid was kept shouting, "Do you remember me from Ohio?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, so your name's Steve, isn't it?" And then he's like, "No, it's Jason." "Oh yeah." And it was funny, because I met Andrews obviously the day before, so it was quite cool seeing him again up close. But the big part when I was actually in the queue for Sonya and Mandy, Stephanie McMahon, JJ Styles and Brian all came out to the Access ring, and they did like a thing where they were inviting all the kids who they came out to do fantastic cause, kids who obviously make a wish, children who are obviously sadly fighting cancer. And they brought them into the ring as their, I think they, the kids all got their own entrance to their own theme tunes, their own nickname wrestling. So it was, my friend said it was really nice to see.
Oh, wicked.
And it's just, it's again, it's how proud everybody is of WWE, how fantastic they can do when they do this sort of stuff. And it was brilliant to see. And again, it's full credit to Stephanie McMahon, does an amazing job as, so what's her job called again? It's the,
bit of everything, to be honest, Nick.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously off screen, I think she's like the PA, like she just basically sorts out all the marketing and everything. And again, proves what a great job she does, and it was fantastic seeing all of that. And I did get a picture with as we know, Rockstar Spud, but better known now these days as Drake Maverick.
Yeah.
He had a queue that I actually kind of wanted to see, and the queue was very, very short. Access amazing. I can't stress to go there enough. If it ever comes to your state, there for a lot of American listeners, or touch wood, ever comes to London. But we can only hope.
Someday, hopefully.
And then on the NXT, I mean, I'll keep this short because with NXT, obviously, it's been discussed on the show, but I don't know. I haven't gone back and listened to what you guys thought, but this is not me getting carried away just because I was there live. This was the best wrestling show I've ever watched, both in live and even if I was watching it on the telly, I think. I don't know if you guys had the same thoughts, but it was without a shadow of a doubt my favourite ever takeover of all time. I know you were saying months before that it's going to be the best takeover of all time, and it certainly was, but I think that was my favourite ever wrestling show. I've certainly ever been to, but probably one of my favourite ever wrestling shows. I'd say it's just beaten now, before that was Money in the Bank 2011, I'd say this show has beaten it. I think it was my favourite ever wrestling show of all time. I think just to me, there's 2 5-star matches out of it. The atmosphere was insane. And I think there's just, I mean, that ladder match, I can't get over how great it was. Still just sort of pinching myself some of the spots that we saw. Every match, though, was just one where you just didn't want to blink because you'd miss something. It was all just brilliant. And the news entrance was quality. And the ending, I've never been invested in a storyline that much since, for for years and years. I think last one was probably Punk Cena, where I was really gripping to a match. And the storyline told of Gargano at the end with the thing, obviously, with thought he was going to let Tommaso beat him up, but no, it was just so brilliantly. And obviously, I'm literally struggling for words. It was just that good. NXT. I don't know if you guys had similar views on it, or if I'm being completely enough deluded or not.
You're being completely and utterly deluded, Nick, to be honest. No, I'm joking. No, we loved it. I mean, for myself, I was coming back from a wrestling show when I just met Paul London, so you can imagine how elated I was. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep, so I'm going to watch NXT TakeOver. And like you said, the ladder match blew me away. Every match on the card is good or better. And obviously the main event is incredible storytelling, where you are emotionally invested from bell to bell. So yeah, I think Johnny Gargano to Master Champ is probably the best NXT takeover match that's ever taken place. The card itself was tremendous. In terms of whether it's the best one ever, I'm not sure. Not based on how I feel about that show, but just thinking about the other shows. But yeah, top to bottom, one of the best professional wrestling cards in years. Absolutely fantastic. So yeah, it's not how you felt about it, you know, and no one else felt that way. Me and Chris were waxy lyrical about the show. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'm just glad to hear that, because it was absolutely amazing, and that's something I'll never ever forget for as long as I can remember. And
I think we were just jealous that you saw it live, Nick, to be honest.
Well, I'm not going to play it anymore, because it was amazing.
Yeah, but it came across really great on TV as well. So jealous that you saw it live.
I did think judging by the Twitter reaction, I did think that was the case. But no, it was, in short, it was just absolutely insane.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So, if you want to talk about your Sunday...
I think Sunday was the worst hangover, to be fair. Saturday went hard on Bourbon Street. I think we needed a drink after watching that amazing show.
You got to try and come down from it somewhere, ain't you, Nick?
I think it's the case of waking up hungover, and then we made our way over to the Super, because we got in the Superdome really, really early, to be fair. There's kind of doors open up, so there was a block party on before, so went and got a bit of food, nice sandwich shop, very nice sandwich shop, and a very, very pleasant service everywhere in America. Service, it's just, I know obviously it's a different industry, the tipping system and everything, but everyone absolutely lovely. So anyone from New Orleans listening, I love your city. I absolutely love everyone in there. you're an absolutely brilliant city. There was that. So like that. And, yeah, the block party was cool. Live music, the music in itself was like a massive concert. A few superstars went up on the stage to get one in the mood. Big Show, R-Truth. You can actually get us. I know Ric Flair was in this, but you can actually see Ric Flair, whether he was going to be on a bit later on, I don't know. Tamina went on as well. Big Show and Truth were quite funny. It was good. To be fair, the band was on pretty good as well. Some good songs. But it was scary in the mood, and it was just, pretty cool to be part of the block party. And then, the best part about the whole wrestling was just simply walking into the Superdome for the first time, and just seeing the event. Brilliant to be that close to the ring. I think it helps we got in there so early. being so close to the ring was just insane. Then we shortly did have to go because there was, as we were walking past us, a Mr. John Cena walked right past us, taking a which was surreal. We wondered why some bloke was walking with like three security guards around it. Then we kicked on, it was John Cena. So obviously he was a fan, so he was taking his shit seat for the show, and rightly so. It was funny watching him run off like about 20 minutes later to go for a piss, and like everyone running after him, and then
Oh god, it was Dahlia Black that tweeted a session off, like legging it around the concourse, like knocking people out of the way trying to find him
which was hilarious. But no, but yeah, all set up for the show. So the pre-show was pretty good.
We know you kind of fear the kickoff shows and everything. Nick, that's exactly kind of your thing. But was there anything stand out on the kickoff? Was there anything stand out on the kickoff show at all for you?
Well, I missed most of the cruise on the match because I went to get a shellac piss with him.
What are you doing, Nick? Oh, man.
I went for a piss and I sort of caught the end to it. I went for a piss and get obviously a double parking on there because it took about a mile walk from our seats up to the concourse. So double parking was my tactical view. we won't blame that. Not my alcohol problem, but no, we'll put it on that. So there was that. So I missed the stuff there, but no, the battle royal made me laugh. I loved it when I was in tears. I breached my sense of humour, very immature, but that 2 minutes I wouldn't stop laughing when that, I think it was Primo Epico, did that amazing like little flip back in the ring, and then he's got clobbered straight back over the ropes. It probably was mine on being seen on TV, but it just made me absolutely cry and laugh. But I don't even know why. The cruiserweight match, I caught the end of it. It was some pretty good spots there, and to my mates, it was an amazing match. The women's battle royal I thought was pretty cool as well. Then just the fireworks when they went off when the show started. Again, it was, I'm here, we've done it, absolutely amazing. The opening match of it, and then I thought up until the last three matches, it was probably the best main, one of the best mainies of all time. I thought some of the matches were absolutely excellent. My favourite match was, I loved the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Belt. I think with Mahal, while I actually stormed off like Brighton, just either fucked up a one-on-one or conceded a goal in football when I usually storm off. It was literally like that with Mahal when I was effing and blind.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, some bloke who was next to me was doing it as well with his son next to him, so that gave me the cue to, it's okay to swear.
It should have been Rusev, but... Yeah, I understand the decision to go in Mahal if they had have changed the title to like the Indian title, which I talked about and stuff. I thought that would have been a good storyline arc. Otherwise, it should have gone on Rusev. There's no doubt about it.
Rusev was the most over wrestler the whole that week.
Exactly.
Everybody went and those Rusev Day chants. It was the most merch I saw out of question out in America. He got so much big pops. Oh god, it was out of nowhere. I haven't done anything with him, it's quite beyond me. I feel it was like turning back into a bloody heel when it looked like he was being a face for a while, so I don't quite know what they're thinking is behind that.
It's because it's organic, like Zack Ryder's was a few years back, Nick.
Yeah, no, you've got a good point. I think it's really funny. Vince doesn't really like them, they're not there anyway.
Yeah.
The nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the matches were, I mean, much of blew me away. My match of the night, it was Triple H. And it was, to be fair, I think I might have even said this on the show before, it was probably the match I was least looking forward to, was Triple H and Steph versus Angle Rousey. But oh my god, that is why Rousey, probably one of the best, if not the best, athletes on the planet. I think she was absolutely insane. She proves she can do it in WWE. And there's already talks of her versus Charlotte main event in WrestleMania 35.
In all honesty, before that happens, Nick, I want to see her against Triple H.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
Do you know what I mean? They did intergender wrestling, mixed wrestling, amazingly well at WrestleMania.
They did. They had that to perfection, I thought.
Definitely.
If you said to me years ago. I'll be honest, if you said to me two years ago about a women's match main event in WrestleMania, I'd have said you're pissed, and I'd have laughed, and you wouldn't have anywhere at me, and I'd have smeared it. I wouldn't have even given it a thought. But now, Charlotte Rousey, I'll be all over that main event in WrestleMania
next year. Yeah, absolutely.
And Charlotte Oscar, that's how much loved it. Charlotte's entrance was sick. Quality, her entrance is amazing. I loved her. And all the entrances, some of the entrances were brilliant. Triple H one was quality. And then, yeah, when the Dongs won off Undertaker, that was class. It's a moment, I keep saying this, it's a moment on him to care. But last three matches, yeah, I thought the last three matches disappointed me a bit. Stars Nakamura, I know we've got a bit of a shock, but the Strowman, I thought the Nicholas thing was quite funny, to be fair.
Yeah, it was quite funny.
Never pop on Raw as well, which I'll discuss later. And the main event, to be fair, we, the crowd, probably weren't helping matters by not giving it any sort of interest. I mean, a lot of people with the backs turned, trying, this match sucks. We want Carmella chants. Every chant that was nothing to do with it. It was like almost like the Goldberg Brock match from WrestleMania 20, but without a referee getting all the sort of cheers.
Yeah.
It was more Carmella getting the cheers, a bit of Paul Heyman getting the cheers as well. But no, when the match fought, it was almost like everyone was like, what? What's just happened, sort of thing.
I think the issue with the match, though, Nick, was the amount of finishes, and you know what I mean? You shouldn't be kicking out of five or six F5s. It looks unrealistic. It makes wrestling seem unrealistic. You know, it should be a finisher and then maybe a super finisher, and then the match is done. But when it's five or six, it takes me out of the match. I said it in our WrestleMania review. How was it when you were watching it live?
I must admit, I was one of these idiots who had the back turned and kept chanting abuse. all joking aside, I must admit, I also had a few beers at this point. But it wasn't great. I mean, I've gone back and watched it as well. I still don't think it was great. Like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head there, to be honest, about all the finishes. But it was a bit of cool, and it's a surprise, to be fair, when there's the one that got a big cheer.
Yeah.
I still think that they're hoping that in Saudi Arabia, when Reigns wins, it's going to get a big cheer. I hope I'm proved wrong. I think Reigns will beat Lesnar, to be honest. I don't know what Lesnar's deal is. I don't know whether it's just a month deal.
I think he's signed on until SummerSlam, from what I've read.
That's not like a big old money, though. It's a lot of money they're paying him. Like, he's on about, what, isn't it like $600,000 per match, and it's $300,000 like TV appearance?
I'm not sure, to be honest. My question is, if the same quality of match and stuff, but if you had a switched Styles and Nakamura for Reigns versus Lesnar, would the fans have gone home happy?
Tough one, because I think would it really be a good WrestleMania ending of Nakamura beating the crap out of Styles? I don't know.
I saw their match from New Japan Pro Wrestling, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and much like yourself, the WrestleMania match disappointed me. Feels like the first part of the story, really.
I think what it is, I think it's the first, now that Nakamura's turned heel, I think it's going to get a lot better. I think they'll have, I'm surprised they have maybe a couple of it, they'll have a couple more matches. I think it'll probably like maybe end with something like Money in the Bank, maybe the June pay per view. And I've got feeling that match will the last match will be the big wowzer.
Yeah, according to my fantasy booking, Nick, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, when we were doing the predictions at the start of the year, I had them on, you know, feuding until Money in the Bank kind of time, didn't I? So, that's WrestleMania talked about, I think, if you finished. And
yeah, absolutely.
Monster Kongo Kong, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Okay, so we'll talk about the superstars from Raw to SmackDown Live. So United States Champion Jeff Hardy, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Samoa Joe, Big Cass, Asuka, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, Cesaro, Sheamus, R-Truth, and The Miz. Is there anyone there that stands out to you, or do you want to share your thoughts on whoever you want to show them on, really.
Well, like I said, I think Paige has pulled it. Everyone talking to Paige, I think Paige pulled Angle's pants down on this. I think she's done. If you get that bad at her performance, oh my God, she's probably like the best general manager of all time. If you're going to mark it on stuff like this, I mean, she's done well with it again. He's getting some of these people over to SmackDown. I think starting off with the big one, Miz, I think this is a major loss for Raw. I think Raw is looking pretty bare. I think SmackDown's looking like it's got the better brand at the moment. I think Miz is one of the hottest things in wrestling at the moment. So I think he's a major, major plus. I would like to see Axel and Dallas go with him, but I think the Miz on SmackDown will still be just, I would describe it, awesome. And I think him versus Bryan, it's been a few in the waiting for ages, and I hope it's not just rushed straight away. I hope it's take ages for Bryan to get his hand in there. So when he might, maybe like Big Cass, we'll get to a bit of SmackDown recent. I hope Big Cass now sort of becomes sort of almost the Miz's bodyguard, so to speak.
Yeah, that would work, like Shawn Michaels' Big Daddy Cool style kind of thing.
Absolutely. So that's the major one, I think. Jeff Hardy, I think I saw that coming as soon as he beat in the hall. I thought that was going to happen, which is a great pick. I think the Slam, it keeps him and Matt on different brands as well, with both a bit tied up in different ends. So it'll be interesting to see what Jeff could do. I think he's got some great matches as well as some people on SmackDown.
I'm surprised at that one, to be honest, Nick. I thought, you know, Brother Nero would come back and he'd join with Wyatt and Hardy, Matt. So.
They teased it, obviously, with them on the Raw after Mania the Hulk. So,
yeah.
They've got options down the line for that. So,
yeah, definitely.
It's good for them to get that to work. And, like Jeff, or it'll be interesting what Jeff can do with the United States belt. Again, some big NXT courts, which I think are really exciting. Insanity, really exciting. That with a few potentially the Bludgeon Brothers, I think, will be amazing. The titles, and still got Usos and New Day, the two amazing tag team divisions. And they've got Gallows and Anderson as well.
Cesaro and Sheamus as well, Nick.
Yeah, incredible.
That's an incredible tag team division, isn't it? Yeah.
Two good brothers, Anderson and Gallows. I hope they get the big push. Two good brothers.
Yeah.
Because they are two good brothers. Samoa Joe, amazing.
Yeah, that's an amazing one. If you want SmackDown Live to be the wrestling show, you bring Miss. You know, the wrestler Samoa Joe, don't you really?
I just hope that Joe doesn't pick up too many injuries, because I think maybe they need to manage him a bit better, maybe don't put him in the mat action so much on house shows, maybe keep him a bit more protected, because he's clearly picking up quite a few injuries, so I don't want that to happen, because he's class, and like Joe. But those are the major ones.
Asuka.
How could I forget? Yeah, Asuka, I did think she was going to go to SmackDown, I must admit, but no, her and Charlotte on the same brand just excites me. I can't see Carmella holding the belt for long, if I'm honest. Much like Carmella, I just think Oscar and Charlotte in the waiting. And then you've got also Absolution as well, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. I think they'll be quality, and the iconic duo as well. And they've had a great start to SmackDown. So no, SmackDown really does excite Almas as well.
Yes.
Yeah. It gets better and better, I think.
With Zelina Vega as well, Nick.
Absolutely. I'd be interested to see what division he goes. I suspect he'll probably be. I think him and Jeff could be a great feud for the United States belt.
Yeah.
Can't see them throwing him straight into a. I mean, he's definitely going to be WWE title level ready, but I just think it might be a bit silly rushing him straight into that.
There's no need to rush him into that with the talent on the roster, is there? Build him up.
Exactly. But I think the talent's so good, I think it's everyone's going to be. I mean, SmackDown could be an amazing, amazing brand to watch week in, week out. With the talent that's on that show is incredible. And I think, so I think Paige is, I know she keeps saying it, but I think Paige has absolutely killed Angle. If we're going to break Paige here, Even though they talk like it's real, I think Paige is absolutely indignant to let negotiations know if Paige is killed Angle on the negotiations. Like you rip someone off in Monopoly, it seems like that.
This is the reason why she become the general manager, isn't it, really? When she was told this was going to be a roster and stuff. But yeah, SmackDown Live and SmackDown before it, you know, dating back to 2002, had some of the best TV. You know, there was the SmackDown 6, and then in you know, 2008, 2009, you had like the CM Punk, Jeff Hardy feud and Edge versus The Undertaker and stuff. So SmackDown has always been seen as the underdog, but has produced fantastic TV over the years. So, just my quick thoughts on this. Jeff Hardy, you know, moving him away from Matt might be a good idea at this moment in time. I see a lot of, you know, potential in Sonya Deville and the Mandy Rose partnership. Samoa Joe is professional wrestling. Big Cass needs to come back and make a big impression, so that's fine as well. Asuka being added to a roster with, you know, Charlotte and Becky Lynch on it is absolutely fantastic for me. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are good brothers, like you said, and, you know, highly underrated. Yeah, highly underrated. Yeah, I missed you singing, Nick. Highly underrated as a tag team, and, you know, hopefully they'll be used to their potential on SmackDown Live. Cesaro and Sheamus, singles wrestlers, that became a tag team and tore up Raw, so that should be fantastic as well. And obviously The Miz, the fact that The Miz versus Daniel Bryan is something that is tantalizingly close, considering all the backstory and stuff. Is amazing. I can't wait till that happens. And to talk about your, you know, the NXT arrivals and stuff, I'm not entirely sure of the NXT arrivals on the SD Live after WrestleMania, apart from the iconic duo. So glad to see them on the main roster. They should have been on it a long time ago. And the new arrivals that are in this Superstar Shake-Up for SmackDown, Sanity versus Bludgeon Brothers, I completely agree with you there, Nick, should be fantastic. Looking forward to seeing that. And Andrade, Cien Almas and Zelina Vega are going to, you know, they're going to tear it up on SmackDown Live, and I can't wait to see that, really. Andrade, Cien Almas has been different level since teaming up with Zelina Vega, and I can't wait to see what they do on SmackDown Live. I think, you know, much like you've said there, in terms of superstars that are ready for the upper echelon or talent-wise, I think SmackDown Live has probably ousted Raw. You know, there's a lot of young up-and-comers on Raw that I'm not sure they'll get the same opportunities that they got on SmackDown Live. So, I think, you know, Raw got 19, SmackDown Live got 15. SmackDown Live probably did the best in the Superstar Shake-Up. And I think we've covered the NXT side of things as well. So we'll head back with you, Nick, and to talk about your Raw After Mania experience, your SmackDown, your SD Live After Mania experience, and then the, you know, if there's anything to be said about the Wednesday before you boarded the plane. Cool.
The Monday, brilliant. Obviously, wake up after WrestleMania, and I've got a lot of these, got a swamp tour, so it's fantastic. Alligators, it was a good fun, a fantastic tour guide, I have to say. Raw After Mania was brilliant. Raw After Mania, everything I thought it would be. The atmosphere really is just was absolutely insane. Some fantastic chants. My favourite one was obviously the "Oh, walk with the lies." I don't know how it sounds on to the TV, but some of the chants were just superb. When Steph came out, got beaten the crap out by Rousey again. you deserve it, Charlotte. Brilliant. Ember Moon, Davidson, fantastic. I think I screamed like a little kid when that happened. seeing Lashley come back was brilliant. Heath Slater, that I don't like, I could hear him say, "Oh, kids," in his promo. sadly, he got beaten up by the Authors of Pain. Samoa Joe returning, Jeff Hardy returning. There was God knows how much moments. It was good. Roman Reigns getting booed. And then Seth Rollins, he was a master on the mic as well when he came out with the loudest ever "Burn It Down" from the crowd. Vince was brilliant on the mic as well. It was a great main event. It felt a bit, I felt like they used everything up pretty quickly, I thought, on the show. The main event felt a bit house showy, facing easily winning, nothing really happened. Because we were sort of saying to us, we thought maybe Balor might turn, Balor and Gallows and Anderson will put on full-on heels potentially by beating up Seth and Jeff at the end, but I guess it's going to draw after Mania. But no, it was cheers, and obviously all the Beach Boys came out after that, and it was just a party atmosphere. But yeah, the walk of the last time was brilliant. I think Elias is one of the best things in WWE. I really hope he has a massive year ahead of him, Elias. I think he's absolute class. And then, SmackDown on the Tuesday, with Sammy went to main part of that day to watch the second leg of Liverpool City and the Champions League, and that was a pretty special game. But no, in Eden as well, more of the same from Raw, really. SmackDown, it made me laugh. SmackDown, I said the actual show was great, a really great rest, to be fair, really, really great rest of the show. I thought SmackDown Live was from start to finish, it sort of flew by, but really, really great show from Paige getting out as general manager to seeing Bryan compete again against Styles. Carmella cashing in, fantastic moment. So a really good show. And then we saw 205 after the fight, which I think the American trip got too much to one bloke who fell asleep during 205 Live. to the chance of Nakamura and etc. And then to actually the severe chance of check his pulse, because we're all starting to get a bit concerned that it might be a fatality. But thankfully, some bloke did the honours of getting to check it and gave everyone a thumbs up. And it actually woke the bloke up as well. I think America's taking its toll on him. I think Solo, he really woke up and he was in good spirits. He was enjoying the atmosphere. He was taking it all in. Which was great to see. So he was enjoying it, and that was pretty funny to like that show. Fantastic. Just ended really a fantastic, just an absolutely fantastic weekend. And on Wednesday, it was time to go. Flights were in the evening, it was just an absolutely fantastic weekend. I just can't. It's without a doubt the best week of my life, and I just can't stress, if anyone's ever debating whether to go on a WrestleMania week, I just can't recommend more. It was a lot of money, but it was worth every single penny. I would be happy to do it again if I could justify it. I mean, it's in New York next year, I'd love to do it, but I don't think I can. But it's certainly something I want to do it again in the future, without question.
Absolutely superb. So in terms of your match of the week, what was your match of the week and what was your segment of WrestleMania week?
Segment was that, mate?
Yeah, segment. So like an interview, promo, backstage thing, something like that.
The segment was the Elias segment, without a doubt. I like the Braun Strowman with Nicholas backstage.
Yeah, that was quality.
When Nicholas got a great pop and then Nicholas shouting great to get his hands. That was quite funny. Yeah. And then Angle dropping the TNA thing. I think I spat my drink out. It was just so out of the blue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like you thought he was about to say that in TNA, would you? It just literally came out of the blue. It's not like back in the time when WWE got close to saying it before you think, well, hang on, they mentioned TNA here. It just came so out of the blue, which just made me laugh.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, the Elias bit was quality, and everyone chanted for Elias then. and saying, this, everyone's a scumbag, and everyone just sort of going, we're all scumbags and everything. So that was probably my best segment. But match, sure, yeah, I think match, you're looking at, you can't really go any further. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso, I think, was my favourite match of the week. But with other shout-outs to the ladder match, was a superb. Every man in that match could take their hat off and say they did brilliant, especially Ricochet and Adam Cole, baby. yeah, shout out to that match, shout out to the Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, Triple H, Steph match, and also the triple threat match at the Progress show as well, between Pete Dunne, Flash, and Mark Andrews. I thought it was quality as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think I'll wrap it up from there. I can't think of anything else. We've talked about all the superstars involved in the shake-up. You've covered WrestleMania. Yeah, just in closing, we've got a poll on the BBGW pod. Roman Reigns comments on who he wants to face at WrestleMania 35. He says, I think I'd like to face Daniel Bryan, but if it cannot be, then I'd like to face Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins again. So we've put a poll on the account, like I said. Of the three, who would you like him to face? Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, or Seth Rollins? So be sure to get on over to twitter.com/BBGW pod and vote now. So yeah, this has been a extended edition of Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I've been your host, Oliver Newman, or Forever Fans Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE, and Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle now. And he has been Mr. WrestleMania, can't call you that anymore, Nick Davey.
No, I'm about to want to get WrestleMania.
Yep, that sounded inaudible, but I think we got the gist. So yeah, thanks very much for joining me tonight, Nick.
Pleasure.
And
backlash review, I guess.
Hoping to do an Impact Wrestling Redemption review show in the very near future, if we can get a guest involved. And we'll be doing a Greatest Royal Rumble review with a couple of guests, hopefully next Tuesday. And I think that wraps it up. So yeah, thanks very much everyone for listening. If you'd like to follow the podcast, you can do so on twitter.com/BBGW pod. If you'd like to follow me, it's twitter.com/Brumial. If you'd like to follow Nick, it's twitter.com/Nick_Davy. And if you'd like to buy our merchandise, it is teespring.com/broken-but-glorious. Thank you very much. Bye for now. Bye.